If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to IGN's weekly Xbox show. It is Podcast Unlocked. It is episode 593. It is May 3rd already here in 2023. I'm Ryan McCaffrey in IGN's San Francisco studio. Joined, as always, by Stella Chung. Good to see you.
Good to see you. It's been a few weeks.
It's been a minute. Yes, welcome back. Destin Legarry just getting back into the swing of things as well after his paternity leave. Good to see you, sir.
Bam. Hey, everybody.
And welcoming back an old friend, Khalif Adams, he of Spawn on Me. Welcome back, Ka.
Hello, beautiful humans. It's good to see you all. I'm excited to be rocking with you all and hanging out, talking about some good Xbox talk.
It has been too long.
Yeah.
It has been far too long. So
it's been a minute.
Let's start, actually. Give us the quick update. How are things with Spawn on Me? What's going on the channel? What should people be tuning in for?
Yeah, we are in our year 10 of our show, which is wild to say out loud. But yeah, we're having a fun time. It's one of me. Continue to put out some great content. The most recent and kind of really awesome conversation we had is we had the CEO of Twitch, Dan Clancy, on the show to talk about the future of the platform and all those things therein. And you know, we're digging into kind of the summer start, right? Where all the conversations around Summer Games Fest and all the other games that we're hopefully going to be playing in the rest of the year are going to be dropping. So, you know, keeping it rolling, keeping things moving, and starting to get things ready for Spawnies 3. Starting to get those plannings together. So, you know, we got some things coming for all of you at home.
Excellent. And it's twitch.tv/spawnonme, youtube.com/spawnonme. Are those both correct?
You got it. Both of those are the ones.
Yep, and then is there an audio podcast version too?
I mean, you know, we usually podcasts go out on all podcast platforms around the world, and that's where we are on all of those. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those wonderful places as well.
Perfect. Speaking of fun programming, the Xbox Game Showcase will be live streamed on Sunday, June 11th, 10 a.m. Pacific. That is, of course, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Google it if that is not your time zone. You'll find it. So no specific developers or games have been teased as of yet. But naturally, whatever's there will be coming to Xbox, PC, Game Pass. The Starfield Direct will be streamed immediately after. As always, we here at IGN will be having that show for you live, including the post-show with everybody you see here and our live post-show, pre-show and post-show
for
both of those. What?
That.
Of course. You don't even need to ask. There's no even.
Okay.
We will be doing that
always.
This is still our biggest moment of the year here for Xbox. So we'll be looking forward to that. So do check that out. Mark your calendar. Sunday, June 11th, 10 a.m. Pacific. I guess we'll probably get started then at 9:30 a.m. Pacific, if I had to guess. 30-minute pre-show is usually how we roll. And it'll be a longer day than usual with the Starfield Direct immediately after that. So looking forward to seeing where Todd Howard and the team are at with that one. All right. Well, we start this week. It's been a roller coaster of emotions lately on Unlocked. We've had ups. We've had downs. We've just had to talk about the blockage, the cardiac blockage that of the Activision Blizzard deal, and we'll see if that can get cleared out or not. And this week we had the release of Redfall. Now, Redfall is a game we were very excited about. I mean, Miranda, who unfortunately couldn't be on the show today, she's been that's been we've got the receipts. Go back to the old Unlocks. That she's been probably that's been like number one on her list on Xbox for a while. We talked about, we went to the preview event, Stella, you, me and Miranda about a month and a half ago. We played on PC. So this was before all the 30 frames per second on console stuff. And it, you know, I think we came away and we talked about the show. We liked it. It seemed good. I mean, it didn't set my spidey sense off as like, whoa, this is amazing, but it was just a taste. And we thought, all right, let's see what the full version brings. And unfortunately, it has not gone well. It's basically the worst case scenario for Arkane and for Bethesda and Xbox. The reviews are not good. The community impressions are not great. Now, this is not to say it is a bad game, but there is a lot. There are a lot of legitimate things to talk about.
I'll say it's a bad game.
Okay. Well, that's I haven't played enough of it to make that determination for myself personally. So I'll be super transparent up front. So aside from the 90 minutes on PC that we played at the preview event, which was seemingly, now that I've actually played it, started from the beginning on Xbox, it seems like that they jumped us like not long after the beginning of the game. I think they had told us it was a few hours in or so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I played last night. I spent about an hour or so just getting a feel for it on the console, since, of course, that was the whole 30 frames thing and whatnot, and just went there. So, and I know, Destin, you've been spending some time with it. Khalif, you've spent some time with it. Stella, you haven't had a chance to dive in on Xbox yet, but you've got that PC preview time under your belt. So let's just start with our personal impressions on this game, because this has been a highly anticipated game. This is arguably the first big AAA game for Xbox in a while, because we didn't get one last year. I mean, it's no disrespect to Hi-Fi Rush or to Pentiment, both excellent games that reviewed extremely well across the board. Those are smaller games that certainly have a place, but in terms of the big AAA first-party blockbusters, this is the first one in a while. It's also the first the first big Bethesda game, again, on the AAA scale, to come out since the acquisition in 2020. Again, Hi-Fi Rush being a smaller surprise thing, which was so great to start the year with. Destin, I will start with you, because I know you've been pretty vocal about this on Twitter. You've probably got the most time into the game of the four of us here so far. So your thoughts on Redfall, go ahead.
It's terrible timing for Xbox, and it's one of the worst AAA games that I've ever played. Honestly, most of the enemies are brain dead. You're constantly wandering around the world, and it's just completely empty. And on normal difficulty, I honestly thought my game install was broken, because you literally shoot enemies one time and they fall down. They don't really react to you. There's no stealth mechanic whatsoever. You can just walk up to people and punch them most of the time. It's just a letdown through and through. Starting from the first watercolor style still that has some animation in it, all the way through level 9, it's just constant bugs, constant issues with the gameplay not being enjoyable, and it's really, really unfortunate. I was really excited about this. I posted some clips yesterday just from my footage playing last night, where I'm fighting one of the mini bosses.
Yeah.
Where you just walk up to them and they just glitch out. They like don't know what to do if you stand next to them, and they die.
On Xbox or PC, Destin?
I'm just playing out of curiosity. PC.
Okay.
This is Tristan's footage, and I have been playing with somebody who plays on Xbox, so that works. But for co-op to function, you need to completely quit out of your game to the main menu, host the game, invite them via the Bethesda.net launcher, they join your game, you both ready up, you go back into the game. Like, that's how clunky the experience is. And then when you're in a game together, there's things like, there's an early projector mission where you have to go get a bulb for a projector and then you bring it upstairs. So you get it in the basement, not a ton of enemies at all encountered, like maybe one I think we ran into. So you get the bulb, you go upstairs, and then I'm standing next to the projector thinking I forgot something because there's no indication that your co-op partner needs to be next to you for you to advance that story mission. And progress for your co-op partner doesn't continue if they've been playing with you from the very start. There's so many problems with this property. This game, Tristan's footage is doing a good job of illustrating just some of the wonkiness.
Just for a little context, so this is IGN's review in progress. We did not, we got the game pretty late. We have not completed a full scored review as of yet. So what you're watching here is the review in progress footage.
Yeah, and it's just really bad to the point I'm starting to question if Xbox can actually have a AAA game launch in a state that's acceptable.
Well, like, I'm glad you said that. I do want to come back. I want to circle back to that point. But I want to get to Khalif here and get his impressions. I think another piece of this too, that's worth adding for context. I think part of the what's making this such a bitter pill to swallow here is that this is the first party $70 game. Which is just just first time, just since Xbox raised the prices on first party games. And this is the result. Ka, your thoughts thus far from what you've seen and played with Redfall?
A lot of ditto to what Destin said. I think coming into this game, super excited for it, and was really excited after I got a chance to play in the preview session. That felt like they showed a fairly decent vertical slice of what the game was going to be, and it felt like once I got the retail versions and started to play them at home, that even within that scope of gameplay, it felt like there was a big disconnect between what I got a chance to play at that preview and what I got a chance to play at home. So I've been playing on both Xbox and PC. Started on Xbox, my Xbox Series X, played that for about 5 hours, and the experience wasn't that great at all. I mean, the conversations around the 30 frames per second was one that they got in front of in terms of, you know, talking about that before the game launched. But even within the console space, usually when you have a 30 frames per second game, it doesn't feel stuttery in the same way. Like, even they can kind of lock that down and get that to be fairly smooth, and that wasn't the case on console. Then moved over to PC, played that for a couple of hours, and that experience felt a little bit better in terms of frame rate. But it really goes back to that bigger conversation of a world that has such a really interesting art style, comes from a team like Arkane that's known for world building, and known for pretty good, you know, shooter mechanics. It feels like all of those pieces from Arkane were missed in the translation for making this game in a way that just has me super disappointed in what this game could have been and then what we actually got. And that part has been, you know, pretty disheartening to see in that respect. I got that same glitch that's on the screen where the boss just kind of glitched out. So it made me laugh to kind of see that while we're showcasing things. But it is one of those games that I came in with such high expectations. This was a conversation that Xbox had put out into the world about, this is going to be a game you're going to care about. This is a new IP. We're going to spend the time and the effort and the energy and resources to make this game good. And it was the thing that led a lot of their show, at least led or capped the end of a couple of different showcases that they had. And to know that this is what we wind up getting is really just disappointing. And I'm sure we'll talk about the kind of impact on what that means for Xbox as a whole. But for this particular game, like, it is very, very much so a disappointing effort to see on all ends.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Arkane's track record. Because, again, I don't think I don't think there's one thing that's sort of leading Xbox gamers to frustration. I think it's a lot of things all coming together. And Arkane having such, like, I think it's fair to say this is Arkane's first miss ever. Like, I know Prey launched with some bugs, but the game was great, and we updated our, you know, we gave it, we were, Dan Staplin, our reviews director, hit a ton of those bugs and gave it a tough score, something like a 5 or something when it came out.
I remember what happened, Ryan. His save got corrupted because there was something in the game where if looted the wrong thing, your save didn't work anymore.
The point,
they fixed it.
Yeah, the point was we ended up re-reviewing it, and it was an 8. So it's like, I think this is the first miss ever for Arkane.
Right, but this is also their first time trying to do anything multiplayer, right? Because it was always single player. And again, this was like a big experiment for them, but it kind of sucks that it was not great. And it, yeah, when we played the preview build, it was good, but that's because they only gave us a small chunk. They probably took out a lot of assets. So when they loaded all of that back in for retail launch, it probably broke a ton of things that they weren't expecting to. But a lot of the core game there, I do remember talking to you and Miranda about it. We were just like, oh, it was okay. But I do remember the AI being very reactive. They were actually really good. And the difficulty, I think they may have scaled it back, maybe due to some complaints and such. Because I do remember the first few bosses being actually really difficult, especially when you had multiple vampires around you. But for some reason, in all the gameplay that I see, it does not look like the same thing that we got to play. So it's a little disappointing. I will say that the single player experience was very empty, like what people say. Yeah. And a lot of people that I have been watching, they have been playing single player. And I know we talked about this like before the show, but I feel like co-op would help, but mostly because you wouldn't be suffering through it alone. So
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it. I think it is important to, so I'm the previews editor at IGN. Like, all pre-release coverage runs up through me one way or the other. I'm either, you know, assigning it out or doing it myself or helping out with it in some way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is why we're always, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect with it, but it is a key focal point for preview coverage on IGN is to always contextualize, because you know, so when we played the preview slice 6 weeks ago or so on PC, again, we said, yeah, it seems good. But we notice the way we phrase it is the 90 minutes we saw seems good.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to cast a blanket judgment on the whole game from A, a small slice of it, and B, an unfinished product. You know, typically we see these things improve from, you know, if there are issues during the preview session, we hope that they're going to improve when it comes to the final product. But that's, you know, instead of saying, you know, Redfall is good, if not great, that's not what we actually say is the 90 minutes we played of Redfall is good, not great. Because it is, you know, it's important to be fair to your audience that way, and to the game too, to say it's just to not cast any like just blanket statements based on a small slice that, you know, quite honestly, and I'm not saying this is a malicious thing at all, but it, with every preview situation, the developer is showing you what they want you to see. So, like, you know, Destin, you were I think fairly calling out the watercolor still cutscenes, right, in a $70 AAA first-party game. And in our preview event, they didn't show us any of those. And I think there's probably, you know, it's probably very intentional, but
it's the same style as Dusk Falls, an indie game with a very small team. And I'm just like, so you use the same thing that indie team did for your most of your storytelling? It's just insane to me. It's insane that that management looked at this and said, yeah, that's ready to ship for $70 or $100 if you buy the limited edition.
Right. Now, for me, I kind of want to pivot. So we've kind of all given our thoughts on what we've played so far personally. Again, IGN's full review is coming soon. I don't know exactly when, because, again, we're working on it as quickly as we can. But I want to talk about now, which I think each of you have hinted at already, this Redfall release within the context of the bigger Xbox Game Studios picture. And I think that's kind of what the meat of this podcast is going to be about, because, you know, we don't want to, there's not a lot of good that comes from just spending 50 minutes beating the Redfall horse over and over again. Like, we've said our piece. And the reviews out there, including IGN's review in progress, soon to be final review, will speak for themselves. So for me, I want to start here. and go around the table. I don't understand how Redfall wasn't delayed by an additional quarter, an additional 3 months. Because again, to your point, Destin, management has eyes on that, whether that's, you know, you've your project director, Harvey and Ricardo have eyes on it, obviously, right on the ground level. Your studio leads, people like Pete Hines have eyes on it. People like Phil Spencer, I'm sure, have eyes on it. And you've already, you know, okay, we've moved, or we've got Starfield that's been now locked in for September 6th. The Xbox leadership team knows much better than we do what the fall is looking like, right? So we know there's a Call of Duty that's probably, you know, the Modern Warfare 2.5 yeah. thing that's going to most likely come out at the end of October, like it always does. There's somebody just locked in for August something. Somebody, some public. Anyway, point is, and I think Forza Motorsport at this point, I can't possibly see that game coming until October, November. I think it's going to be a fall game. It's not going to magically drop. They're not going to give it a release date for a month from now, and really nothing ships in July. So, and they're not going to, you know, August, I think, seems unlikely. Anyway, if you delay Redfall three more months, because you've already delayed it almost a year. The original release date, release window, was September, when it was first announced, it said summer 2022. That comes and goes, okay, no problem. Then the release date becomes May 2nd, 2023. If you push it out 3 more months, you steer clear of Starfield. So you go, let's say early August. You could be kind of one of the first fall games, even though August is technically summer. We kind of look at the fall game season as starting in August, really. So you could be kind of the first mover out there. You're out well before Starfield. You're avoiding, you're staying out of Forza's way as far as first party releases go. You're staying out of the way of other big games, whether it's a Call of Duty or what have you. And 3 months would help clean up a ton of the issues with this game. Now, is it going to address the fundamental gameplay concerns that a lot of the reviews have discussed and this panel has discussed? Maybe not, but it's going to, you know, definitely they could have solved the 30 frames per second. They could have avoided that whole fiasco, number one, and solved, you know, maybe address the AI, the, you know, texture pop-in, all these kinds of things. So I know it's way more complicated than that, but sitting here as a gamer, when we see Microsoft is unafraid to delay games. They moved Halo out 13 months and moved it off of being a console launch game for their next gen console. That's like that's like about the biggest balls you can have as far as delaying a game. They delayed Starfield. Like, this is a company that's not afraid to move things out to give it more time. So I'm being long-winded, but I'm having trouble processing how this was not pushed out further, Stella.
Destin.
Okay.
Do you feel like this was an oversight from the Xbox Game Studios
then
and their schedule? Or do you feel like it was something that, like, because I know most of the time when Microsoft does acquire studios, they're like, oh yeah, they kind of have free reign of whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
But obviously they are still looking at everything in the grand picture.
Absolutely.
So that they don't overlap each
Absolutely.
Other.
Absolutely.
So now I'm wondering, was it a decision that Xbox Game Studios came to like force Bethesda to release their game window in either this one or the next one and more push towards the earlier release?
That's entirely possible. It's also possible that they've known that this game wasn't tracking great the whole time, and they decided, rather than put any more time or money into it, it's diminishing returns.
Yeah.
Let's put it out, and then we can start the Arcane Austin team fresh on a brand new project that's gonna, you know, hopefully have a higher ceiling and a higher again, there could be, I don't pretend to have the answers,
but
as somebody who plays Xbox, covers Xbox, and sees how Microsoft is unafraid to give their studios more time, these games more time, it's pretty baffling how this, especially, again, the context of this being the first Bethesda release under Xbox, first big first-party game in forever, first $70 first-party game, it just doesn't make... It's just, I'm having trouble squaring it. Destin, go ahead.
My tinfoil hat theory is they needed to cut their losses and recoup the investment. So they're like, put the game out. We know it's going to be bad because they do mock reviews. They know how this is going to go, right? It's not tracking, like you said. We need to get this out. Ryan, you said a quarter. I think this game needed another year or two.
And we're not developers. We don't know, right?
Yeah.
I know that you can't fix the fundamental gameplay issues in a quarter.
Well, he was only, to Ryan's defense, he was only addressing, like, you know, bugs and the gameplay issues, not like the core basis of the game. So
I'm not attacking Ryan.
I'm just
reiterating that he also addressed the fact that it wouldn't like fix like, you know, the empty open world and everything.
But my point is, my tinfoil hat theory is they needed to put it out, recoup the investment of time and move them on to, I don't know, the next Fallout or the next big project, like Ryan said. So I'm very in line with your thinking about what happened here. And Arkane did do support on Fallout 76, so a new Fallout isn't a huge stretch.
Well, that's, now you're getting a, you're getting into something else entirely.
You brought up their previous releases. Fallout 76 was something Arkane did support on. So, like, we had Deathloop, which was a Game of the Year contender, but we also have Fallout 76, but I think that's sort of the next topic that I was going to make that point with.
Yeah, that's a little, they did not lead development efforts on Fallout 76. That was a different team.
There is
a
big Bethesda game on the way, though.
I know. All right. Khalif, I feel bad. I feel like I've invited you onto the podcast and you're just like, you're here in the lion's den. it's maybe not the easiest show to parachute into this week, but no, I'm glad you've played a bunch of the game, and I respect the hell out of your opinions and your voice in this industry. So I'm really glad you're here for this. So your thoughts on the sort of, again, this bigger context within the larger Xbox Game Studios picture.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have all hit on some really important and super salient points there. I think it's always hard to know, and I think the part that I'm learning is that because I'm not working at those studios and don't have the intricate details of what the time schedules look like, what the conversations were behind in those closed rooms, I won't speculate too hard, but it does also feel like this is one of those moves where, with a company, like you said, that is not afraid to delay things to make sure that they're in a good spot, they also just can't delay everything indefinitely.
True.
And I think this is one of those conversations too, where maybe this is we need to put something out to satiate the audience in a way that's like, we know that we haven't put things out in a long time.
Great
we
point.
Know our studios haven't been producing in that way and putting games out. Here is something. Here is something to get you across the hump until we have some of those other titles ready to go, because we've seen so many conversations about, and just think about this, like in the last, you know, showcase that we had seen, we didn't get a chance to see things like Avowed. We didn't get a chance to see some of the other big tentpole games in those conversations, which led me to believe that they're still pretty far away in terms of their development.
Yeah.
So seeing Redfall drop now in comparison to those other games that we talked about that are kind of even closer in Starfield and Forza, it really also makes sense for a game to drop around this time too, where you're kind of giving giving the folks at home who are going to be buying this game and checking this game out something. The problem was, I don't know in that conversation what was the gap there between this is a thing that we think we need to put out just for the sake of putting it out, which I don't think is the Microsoft kind of ethos of the way they do it, but they have to put something out because the conversation has been there for 2 years now.
Yeah.
Of Microsoft doesn't put out games, studios aren't producing, and if you move that into the next year, that's a big problem. Or at least even if you wait until the end of summer and starting into fall, it's already an issue, and it's going to just move that ball not only for their studio, but for every other studio in the Microsoft Game Studio suite to add extra layers of pressure to them too. So I think it's a lot of conversations around, you know, what is the business case there? is it actually hitting the developers' kind of vision of what they wanted to do? You know, what was the game plan in that respect? And some of those answers we'll never know. But I think for the folks at home, the baseline is this game was not good. And this game was something that people were excited for and was supposed to showcase not only that they were really doubling down on getting games out, but they were actually tripling down on the fact that their hardware was, again, the best place to play this game. And right now, that is the PC and it's not the console, which is a really weird layer of that conversation for them to have to not only eat, but also have to re-message going forward.
You brought up some really, really interesting points. And I want to pivot to your question about your point about pressure on other studios, because there's one game in particular now that I think has an basically all the pressure, and you can probably guess where we're going with it. Just to maybe throw my tinfoil hat on for a second and piggyback on something you said, Ka, to your excellent point about just getting something out there, which I think is a very valid point. Do you think maybe the thinking there is we get it out beginning of May? And then by the time the summer's over, it's completely forgotten, because immediately after this game comes out, we just had basically the same time, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Mm-hmm. We have Diablo 4 coming very soon. Street Fighter 6 coming very soon. Zelda, obviously not an Xbox game, but a huge game that everybody's going to be talking about. Game coming soon. Final Fantasy, again, not an Xbox game, but another big game. Am I talking crazy right now, thinking that could be even a little piece of the thinking? Like, this thing will just, it'll get buried and forgotten about?
I mean, the hard part is that we know that Arcane is going to continue to support this game for as long as they need to kind of make sure that they, one, only, you know, do well by the player and by the audience, to make sure that they're kind of committing to, you know, not just leaving this thing dead on the vine. But I don't know, because I think, you know, when it winds up coming into, like, what is the game kind of like portfolio and suite that you're pushing out? Even if you were to think about the games that are coming really, really soon, this was going to get overshadowed by Diablo no matter what. Like, this is going to be something that, in the grand schemes of what were the games that I think a lot of people cared about, the energy around it was interesting and good. I think people were excited for a new IP.
Yeah.
They piggybacked off the pedigree of Arcane a lot, which was smart.
Well, this is Xbox fans have been asking for new IPs for a long time, yeah. Right? So in that sense, this is, you know, this is what we've been wanting.
Yep, exactly. And it kind of adds to that layer of kind of frustration, is that when you do get a new IP, you do get story in a way that's not told really, really dynamically. You do get a world that's not really built out in a way that feels good. And it does lend to that conversation of, like, what happens when a game like this gets pushed out into the world? It doesn't do well. And because of the fact that most players' attention spans are much shorter, because of just the glut of things that we have coming, you have such a small window to keep people's attention. And if you don't do that right off the bat, you wind up losing any momentum that you have for people to care and come back to that game. So it would be less about Microsoft putting it out and whining and kind of leaving it on the vine to die, and more of, this game didn't hit in the way they expected to, and players just have a lot more things to play. So why care about a game that you didn't like when it first came out? So it winds up changing that conversation for them in a bigger way, where they have to land not only marketing, but they have to triple down on those teams and say, hey, the stuff that you're putting out, it has to hit day one and it has to be fantastic. Because if not, then we're not wasting money, but we're wasting time.
Right. All right. I want to come back to the point you raised. I'll start with Stella here about, again, I think a lot of Xbox fans are feeling like it's death by a thousand cuts right now. Like, this it's not, Redfall is not the problem. It is just another symptom of this larger problem of Xbox's seeming inability to consistently deliver big AAA exclusive blockbuster games. And I think, as Ka started to get at there, fair or not, and it's definitely not fair, all the pressure, like, there's an unbelievable amount of pressure on Starfield now, is there not? I mean, there was already like the big, the next big Todd Howard game, his first IP, but now in the wake of this, I feel like if Redfall had come out and been an 8 or even a 7 across the board, which just has not been the case, then sure, everybody would still be really looking forward to Starfield, hoping for big things, expecting big things. But do you think that now it's just like any last shred of optimism that Xbox fans, Destin hinted at this a minute ago, and I'll get back to him in a minute, that just this, it's like the last hope for Xbox fans that Microsoft and Bethesda can deliver this a big new blockbuster game.
I think so, yeah, because so it's really funny. I was testing out my new PC because I got a new one and upgraded, and I was like, oh, let me test out Fallout 4, and I was like, oh my god, I can't wait for Starfield. This is so cool, right? Like, I know it's not the same thing, but I'm like, oh my god, I've been wanting a game like this, which is why I feel like Redfall honestly would have done better if it was just a single player game, kind of like Deathloop, you know, because that they excel in storytelling. So anyways, yeah, I feel like Starfield, there's a lot riding on that right now, because as I was telling you before the show, when I did the Unlocked column talking about remakes and how great it is to relive those golden eras of Xbox, which was mostly during the Xbox 360 era, which you also had an op-ed piece about, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I've lived through an era of console gaming that was as iconic as that. And I'm kind of sad because, like, I wasn't able to game as a kid, and I'm like, oh, now I'm here. And I'm like, oh, where did everything go? And it's kind of sad. I'm just like, Starfield could be that, right? It really could be. But there's so much pressure, and we've seen a little bit of it, and we're going to see more. But I'm like, I don't know. I think it's fair to have doubts. Obviously, there are going to be Bethesda bugs, you know, when the game launches, but a lot does ride on this. Like, this is the next big thing. Redfall was supposed to be the time holder, right? Like, it was supposed to tide us over until we got Starfield, because that was the big thing that most people are concerned about. Because I think a lot of people are very tired of multiplayer games, even if it's co-op, because it requires you to have a friend and, you know, like, be able to work through with other people. And, you know, schedules don't line up like that. With single player games, you're able to go in, play however you want, back out, and it's great. So I feel like a lot more people are expecting Starfield, and we're leaning more towards that and saving money for that. So if they buy that and it doesn't play like a $70 game, it's not going to be good for Xbox.
Destin, is there enough pressure on Starfield to turn it into a diamond at this point?
That's an interesting way to put it.
That's a
great way to
geological
put it.
Pressure.
Wait a minute.
I mean, I hope it's a diamond. Believe me.
The only assets that we have to go off of are documentaries where the game's playing in the background, or there's off screen being shot, and that's shot at 24 frames per second. And the only gameplay we got ran at sub 30 frames per second. So already my spidey sense is tingling with worry that the game is not optimized. Now, they've had like a year since we saw this original footage, but there's cuts in it. It's all cobbled together the way that these assets typically are. And that worries me. To see that another Bethesda property...
It's going
to
be 16-month-old footage by the time the game comes out, Destin.
Okay. Yeah. I think there are Bethesda bugs that are forgivable, like when the giant hits you and your character goes flying. Those are sort of fun and funny, right? If it's a Redfall situation where there are major problems with AI and there's other issues, I don't know what Xbox does. Like it's going to be a sign that, okay, just like everything Xbox touches is cursed, you know? And I think people are going to have a big concern about all properties going forward, right? So there is an immense amount of pressure on Starfield, undoubtedly. Yeah.
The hard part also, thinking about that larger conversation, is not only just does it have a ton of pressure on Starfield to kind of be great, which I think I don't want to set Starfield up for unrealistic expectations, because I think the audience will do that for us anyway. But I do feel like there's a conversation there that we always wind up circling back to, right? Which was, were we too early for this generation when it comes to technology? Because a lot of things that we're touting and was touted for when we came into this generation are things we're still struggling to see from a development perspective.
PlayStation's doing fine. Sorry, Ka. I gotta say it.
In some ways, I think some games are doing really, really well. I think some in terms of what their tentpole games are, absolutely do get the love that they deserve in that way. And we have not seen that from the Xbox side of the fence. So I would agree with you in that respect. I think that the larger conversation then turns into, if Starfield does not become that game and it is not the thing that we are hoping for, what is the next layer of that conversation for Xbox in that way? Does it then become Avowed? Does it then become something else? We're still waiting for that Xbox thing that is proving to be the reason why you bought an Xbox Series X and you have this expectation for that one box to do all the things that we're seeing happen on other platforms and on the PC side of things, which again is an unfair comparison and some of that from the tech side of it. But we're still waiting for that as a larger part of the conversation, not only from a technology standpoint, from a performance standpoint, and even, dare I say, from a ideas perspective, we're kind of running out of interesting things to do in some spaces. And that is also reflecting itself in the ways that the games that we're getting too, which I think is a big elephant in the room that we're starting to kind of see bump into it.
I was to piggyback off that. I don't want Microsoft to acquire Activision Blizzard if this is how they're going to treat their game properties and how they're publishing things. So they're taking on way too much, it feels.
Well, that is a reasonable point to raise. Like, you know, if they've grown so much so fast, if they grow a whole lot more and acquire Activision and Blizzard, you know, is that and it's a company that, as we've talked about a million times, is in need of a culture change. Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with their video games, but culturally, for the health, safety, and prosperity and happiness of their workers, needs a culture change. And that's suddenly like another, you're piling a lot more dishes to have to carry around. So there's something to that as well. It's Ka, to your point about what if Starfield isn't, because again, I really feel like, unfairly or not, and it's not fair, Starfield, for I think a lot of people, has got to be like an 8 out of 10 is not going to cut it. That game has to be, it's got to be that 10 out of 10 video game. That 10 out of 10 blockbuster game that Xbox has not been able to deliver. Halo Infinite, stand by my 9 for the campaign. You know, what did you end up going with in the initial multiplayer review?
I actually went with a 9.
9 as well. Oh, yeah, so again... Yeah. Halo Infinite, 9 out of 10 video game, which is great, which is fantastic. But if Halo were coming out now, it would need to be a 10 out of 10, right? It would just be subject to these sort of, all these things, just these dishes that keep getting added onto the pile.
I would say even this, Ryan, in this, I don't want this to sound like hyperbole, but I think Starfield needs to be transformative.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't need, like, even numbers don't really kind of lean into what this game needs to be for Xbox to really be able to tout this in the way that it needs to. This game needs to be that thing that tells you exactly why you spent that money for that console. And it has to be the game that showcases small things about the platform.
Yeah.
That elevate that game to the standard that it needs to be, that is very different and shows differentiation between its biggest competitor and the PS5. And I think that is a big part of that conversation, that to a certain extent, even when I think about the platform now, I don't have answers for what that is when it comes to the conversation about, like, what are the things that we know what the features are of the box, but like, how does that play into what we're going to be able to do inside of this game that is going to make it feel different and going to make it feel like something that is a thing that when you get to your Slack channel the next day that you're talking about in a big way and telling people, oh, this thing that I saw was wild. And I don't know what else I've seen in any other game that is doing this. I don't know yet if Bethesda has made a game like that, except for the stuff that they made before.
Well, I think they absolutely have made that game. And I think first of all, you make outstanding point. That is an outstanding point. And I think you look like, well, Sony doesn't have anything that does what Todd Howard and the Bethesda Game Studios team can do. When you talk about showing off the platform, and I think for me, from what we've seen of Starfield thus far, to me, the best case scenario for Starfield is that it becomes the first, it merges the best of Bethesda Game Studios, the Elder Scrolls and the Fallouts, the best of that open world, the living world, the role playing, the side quest, the memorable side quest, with the modern day version of No Man's Sky, not the launch version, but like if it can blend, because that's to me, you know, I know, you know, Destin, sure, complain about, you know, call out the frame rate on the last year's Starfield footage. That's absolutely fair for the time being. But to me, like, that's what I got out of Starfield. And if it can be, look at that. I mean, if it can be the best of No Man's Sky and the best of what we know Bethesda can do.
Yep.
In this new sci-fi universe where you can craft your own ship and customize it and go to all these places, and maybe there's even a little Mass Effect in there in terms of the scope and galactic sense of discovery, then yeah, I think Starfield absolutely has the potential to do exactly what you're suggesting and what I agree that it needs to do. Mm.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Here's I guess the final point on this is this, again, this inability to consistently get these big games. Phil Spencer is from everyone I've ever talked to, a respected and admired guy. These teams are extremely talented. I just don't know where the issues lie. Like, I know, you know, some people might say, well, you know, COVID hasn't stopped Sony from shipping a ton of great stuff and stopped Nintendo from shipping a ton of great stuff. So I guess, like, where does the buck stop? And I'm not, you know, this isn't like sports where winning and losing is so black and white and your team loses a lot and you go, well, fire the coach, fire the general manager. That's not... The video game industry is not sports. The metrics for success are not that black and white. But I don't know ultimately who's accountable and where the buck stops and how this gets fixed. Because we go back to what we were saying before about how it's not Redfall. It's just all these things compounding one on top of the other, one of the things that's on that pile, one of those death by a thousand cuts, is we just keep getting told, wait till next year.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
We just, and people, I think, are just sick of hearing that because people have invested hundreds and probably, you know, thousands of dollars into the between the console, any controllers, any games you've bought, and your ongoing $15 a month Game Pass Ultimate subscription. That's, I think, where a lot of this frustration that is being expressed onto Redfall is again, and Redfall has legitimate problems to complain about, but I think that's such a big piece of it is... It's that the patience is gone, and we are tired of being told, as people that love this platform, that have invested our money into it, that it is wait till next year. Because if Redfall's out, it's a miss. If the Xbox showcase that's coming up on June 11th doesn't give us any more big fall games to look forward to, now again, I would bet $100 with anybody that wants to take me that we get a fall release date for Forza Motorsport. So I think the rest, but the rest of these this year, again, as far as those big tentpole first party games, it's going to be Redfall. It's going to be Forza. Excuse me. It's going to be Starfield. It's going to be Forza. Is it going to be anything else? Is Hellblade going to get in there? If Redfall's a miss, if it's Starfield and Forza, then it kind of just feels like another year of like, well, I thought the game, thought this was going to be the year where all the games were flowing, the big blockbusters were flowing. So that's a long monologue on my part. I will stop talking now.
I hear you, Ryan.
Yeah, I was going to jump in really quick and say, to a certain extent, as much as I am excited for this showcase, we're in show and not tell time, like in a real way. Like, I think even with the conversations that we're going to have about, you know, seeing what Starfield is going to look like in a big way and whatever new games are going to kind of get announced or at least updated timetables about what we're going to see when those things are going to drop. I think if you were to ask everybody who's on the Xbox Nation side of the thing, they're like, I don't care about what you're going to show me. You can tell me all the dates that you want. I'm not really bought in until I get a chance to play a thing that feels complete and feels really good and feels like I can brag about it to my friends. And I think that's the thing right now that Xbox is up against, where because of that wait until next year kind of thing that has been happening, they've lost a lot of potential cred in the space from the folks who are their biggest fans. And once you lose some of them, it becomes really hard to not only pull in other folks who might be kind of, you know, Xbox curious, but also folks who are thinking about the games that you're going to showcase so that they're going to get excited. Because it's going to be like, I can see right now when the chat pops up, whenever the stream happens, where they see something that doesn't look fully, you know, baked, or think something that doesn't look exactly what they have an idea of what a next-gen game is. That chat is going to be full of, oh, we got Redfall all over again, right? And it's going to wind up being that conversation until the game comes out that is the one that you can say, this feels like this is a next-gen game and is doing all the things that I have an expectation for. So showcase or not, they're going to have to put out something that puts the world on fire and is going to make people talk about it.
Well, absolutely, what if they shadow drop something? Drop something after the showcase
for the second time in a year. I mean, that could be pretty darn impressive.
Hi-Fi Rush 2, yeah, you know, like something in that effect, but like, depends on how it plays, right? Like, yeah. I think for as good as Hi-Fi Rush was, that was a surprise that a lot of people didn't see coming. But also, that fits into that kind of smaller bucket of games that are smaller games that don't really fit that AAA mold.
You can't shadow drop a blockbuster.
No,
you have to build that narrative. Yeah. You got to put the marketing in place for all that kind of stuff. I want someone to do a Beyonce drop one day and just throw the game out and be like, "Look, here's this thing that no one knows about, and here it is, and it's here tomorrow." And I think that would be a huge headline for Microsoft and Xbox to do something like that, because it is a thing that the industry does not do.
We've been playing you guys. Fables out. Here it is. Yeah, we haven't shown a thing. Here you go.
Like, how wild would that be, though? Right? Like, it would set the internet on
fire.
That's
right. You're right.
And it would work, because even if it wasn't fantastic, you would get a little bit more grace from the players to say, oh, they are willing to do things that are different than what they've usually done. They are thinking outside the box. This is a thing that you could, talking to that conversation of like, who do you put the, not blame on, but who do you give the kudos and the blame to in this thing? So it's like, that also builds up that conversation about confidence, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is the biggest elephant in the room. A lot of folks don't have confidence in the platform. And when you put a game out like that in that way, as scary as that may be to everybody up the chain, that shows a level of confidence in a way that they haven't been able to show in the past 2 years, at least. So it's a conversation. I don't think it'll happen, but it would be dope to see in a real way.
Destin?
Yeah. I mean, I think Hi-Fi Rush was good, but it was like a double A experience. I don't know what you call it.
It's
like
no disrespect to it. Yeah. Right. It's a 9 out of 10 video game, but it's not, you know, it's just not on the Starfield, Gears of War, Halo, you know, it's not on that blockbuster scale.
And I think you're really getting at the heart of what the issue is. Confidence is completely shaken right now in Xbox's ability to release a stellar AAA experience. You know, it just feels like they just can't hit that momentum that we've all been waiting for. And Ryan's the other half of it, right? Wait one more year. Like, look, whatever the Forza team's doing, leave them alone. because Forza Motorsport was like the last one where that was like game of the year. I voted
Horizon, you mean? Horizon.
Yeah, Horizon 5. And then we got Motorsport hopefully this fall. Like, you're going up against Final Fantasy 16, which is a PlayStation exclusive. You have Zelda coming also right around the corner, the Nintendo exclusive. Your Starfield answer, like Ryan said, is paramount. It has to be a success through and through.
Yeah. Yeah, the confidence issue is so on point. It is, because, you know, there's lots of us that have already invested in this, again, financially and emotionally in a lot of cases too, because we love this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the frustration is genuine. It is understandable from the people that have already bought in. I think if you're Microsoft, this generation was such a good opportunity. You know, they'd already been doing the work in the back end of the Xbox One generation to try and turn the ship around and get it sailing in a better direction. You know, the One S was a nice piece of hardware. Then the One X was a really nice piece of hardware. They start acquiring the studios in 2018 is I think when that shopping spree started. And that was never going to be an overnight fix. You know, games take time to build, of course. And it just seemed like the pieces were there. Everything was looking good for this generation that started in, unfortunately, in the middle of a pandemic, but that's level playing field for Sony as well. They also launched right into it, where it was just this opportunity for Microsoft to start to win back some of the people that had 360s that defected to PS4. Because when you look at the install base numbers going from 360 and PS3 to PS4 and Xbox One, obviously a lot of, you know, the industry grew, which is amazing, which we love that, but people moved, they switched over to PS4. There were plenty of people that did that. And this was the Series X generation was a chance for, I think, a lot of those people to come back, you know, as these newly acquired first party studios would start putting out content. They made a phenomenal box. The Series X is still, by the numbers, it's every bit the console the PS5 is, but on a sheer just paper numbers level, it is more powerful. It is proven to be perfectly reliable. I have not heard of a single remotely widespread red issue. Ring. Like, I haven't heard of anybody's Series X is failing. It's not to say that nobody's had a, like, of course it happens. It's a piece of electronics, but, you know, the hardware reliability is, they completely nailed it. I think the design of the Series X is great. They already had the best controller in the industry. You know, Xbox Live, there's so many pieces that are there. The backwards compatibility stuff that they started building up, again, the back half of last generation. But with the game prop, the games have always been the most important thing, and we're now 2.5 years into this generation, and I you know, for the people that haven't invested yet, that still have a PS4 and or an Xbox One, the console shortages are over. You can buy a Series X, you can buy a PS5. So as those people start to go, okay, you know, I think I'm ready to jump up to one of the new ones. Like, what's going on with this first party problem, this blockbuster game output issue, is I think Xbox is risking a lot of those people not coming back over that they had that chance to get back. Like, a lot of those people may very well look at the PS5 and go, well, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and Gran Turismo, and Horizon, and God of War, and now Spider-Man 2, and, all right, you know what? Returnal, like, yeah, I think that sounds pretty good. Whereas Xbox, like, okay, again, not that there aren't any good games. It's not a zero-sum situation.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah, FF16 about to be, you know, that is effectively a first-party Sony release, because it's totally exclusive, and they're going to market the hell out of it. So, yeah, like
Final Fantasy VII Remake.
This is, yeah, which we're never going to see, apparently. this is a long-winded way of saying that, yeah, I just think that Microsoft had been doing, they'd done all the groundwork to win a lot of those people back with this fresh start that, you know, any generation's a fresh start. Maybe it's a little less of one now because these are all just PCs and they're just living platforms rather than boxes that get put into a closet forever. And you have to start all over with each generation. But it just, yeah, I think Microsoft is these early generation struggles to get these blockbuster games out on in any kind of consistent way and have them be good is costing them. They're going to pay for it the entire generation because those people are going to those fence sitting people that haven't upgraded yet may decide to just choose the PS5 instead when they finally decide to upgrade. Ka.
And there's one other point there that I think is also in this mix that is kind of, you know, not only just Xbox adjacent, but PlayStation adjacent and kind of every, you know, platform adjacent is we're seeing this interesting conversation. I'll go back to the technology because I think it's really important because it's the first thing that most players see. And it's the first thing that people get excited about, right? Is I think you have the conversation of things that, like, when I went to GDC this year, my favorite conference, or at least panel to go to is the State of Unreal, right?
Yeah.
You get a chance to see wild stuff that is happening within that space. And then you see some of the games that we're getting currently within this console generation. And you're like, where is the disconnect here of the things that I'm seeing in this one space that are semi-feasible? Again, working in engine is totally different than when you're just seeing stuff. And those are very small snippets of very, very structured demos that you're getting a chance to see. But the promise of what that technology is not meeting up with the execution of what we're seeing in terms of the games that we're getting currently. So when you as a player and a consumer are seeing that, if you have no knowledge about the industry and how it works, you're like, well, I see this. Why can't I have that? And I think that conversation is a big part of what we're seeing here with not only, you know, this conversation around Xbox and the kind of ability to get games out the door and what that expectation of what next gen is supposed to be, but we're also having that disparity between, you know, the things that we're seeing and know are viable and know that are real. They're not fake, but we're not seeing them yet. And I think that's a big underlying foundational thing that we're also fighting from a conversational perspective as well.
And I think Hellblade is the first game that actually utilizes the Unreal technology that's really going to be a set piece, right? So when we actually get to see that in action, the kids are home, that'll be a set piece for Xbox. But is Hellblade going to move consoles?
Right.
No, we already saw a 30% decline in console sales for Xbox. So it's just like, do you even need the box or do you just buy a PC at this point?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know if anybody has, I don't know if any one game anymore for Xbox or PlayStation is a killer app where it's just, I am buying the box for this. God of War shipped on PS4.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, maybe you decide, oh, well, okay, this is the one I want to upgrade for and play it in the, you know, on the nicest version. You know, I would argue the last killer app for anything was Breath of the Wild as like, well, shit, I gotta buy a Switch to play this game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Xbox or PlayStation has had one game, but I'm not trying to totally discount your point, Destin. I think what Hellblade can be if it executes on the potential that we've seen from it, not only from a technological perspective, but from a gameplay perspective. You know, that first game was such a brilliant psychological sort of horror slash adventure.
Yeah.
It is exactly, I mean, it's exactly the kind of game that Sony's been doing a great job making for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. So if Hellblade can start to turn the tide, right? I don't think it's fair to say on its own Hellblade or any other single game is like gonna completely even Starfield, I don't think is necessarily on its own gonna be like the savior.
Yeah.
But if Starfield hits in the way that Khalif was talking about, and if Hellblade, whether it's coming this year or if not, gosh, I would almost certainly think next year, is keeps that momentum going, it can start to restore the confidence that we're talking about that is now lacking.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was like, oh, we still have next-gen console watch, but next-gen is here. And then I was thinking about it, I was like, it doesn't really feel like it. So yeah, mm-hmm. next-gen still works even 2 years after, which is funny because the Switch is doing really well, even though it's been like, what, seven years or whatever since it's been out, something like that. And I'm just like, wow. yeah.
The Xbox One and the PS4 were seven-year-old consoles too. So mm-hmm. The Switch is, it's just on a...
Different,
you know, it's not aligned with the other two. So, you know, we're going to get a new Switch sooner rather than later.
At some point, yeah. Nintendo just,
but
like,
take your point, absolutely. Yeah.
Tech is a little bit more forgivable unless you're in, like, a Star Wars situation with the PC port right now. But, like, tech is often more forgivable. Gameplay is king. So, like, Star Wars is going to get patched and fixed. And the gameplay is already there and the storytelling is already there, right? But if... And I do think that Starfield can be that savior game, Ryan. If it launches and it's spectacular, even if it's like a Fallout 4 type experience where there's bugginess, but it's still great storytelling and great gameplay, I think that's a pretty solid start to Xbox finally turning the conversation to positivity again.
Mm. Well, and as we said, Starfield, fair or not, and it is not fair to the many talented developers in Maryland that are working on that game. They kind of have to be the savior at this point. That is the game that all of the hope is being placed in that game right now, as far as Xbox fans looking for that big blockbuster game that is, as Khalif was saying, that fans can go chest thump about to their friends and say, you know, this crazy thing happened, you got to see this, you got to play this, you got to do this. It's incredible. So,
and even with all that, I'm still extremely excited for all of it. Like, you know, all of that conversation to say is like, I'm still like looking at the clock, like, I want this thing, whatever this thing is going to be. Like, I want to see more of it because it looks like it's going to be ridiculously cool. Yeah. So we'll see.
I've been saying since the beginning of the year, Diablo 4 and Starfield are the two games. Mm-hmm. And there was a minute there where it looked like they were going to come out at the same time, and I was just ready to just jump out a window. But
Final Fantasy and Diablo are too close, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not a Final Fantasy guy. That's just, you know, never been my thing. So I will be a resident of Sanctuary in Diablo 4 from June until September, and then I will be jumping into Starfield, and you can find me there for the foreseeable future after that. All right, we've still got some time here. We're running. We got here about 10, 12 minutes, I think. So I want to go over Game Pass. We always get the regular Game Pass updates from Microsoft. So this week, of course, Redfall, we've discussed in great detail already. You can play that, of course, on PC, on the Series X or S, but also in the cloud as well. It's playable that way. Ravenlock is out tomorrow on Game Pass, cloud console, PC there. Next week, Weird West Definitive Edition. I've heard good things about this game.
Yeah.
That's going to be Series X and S only on that one. And then for PC players... I tell you, I want to try this out because I've heard good things about these over the years, but I've never sat down with them. The Shadowrun Trilogy. So longtime Xbox fans will remember Shadowrun, which was that boy, if social media, if Shadowrun had been a thing now, it was already quite the discussion because Shadowrun was this, you know, it's this beloved pen and paper RPG that people had wanted to see a big budget video game made out of. And it came, Microsoft did it, Fastest Studio, first party game, but they did it as a multiplayer only shooter.
Huh.
And everybody was kind of like, well, we wanted a role playing game. And, you know, the game turned out pretty good, but. And
love
honestly,
that game like, with my whole heart.
Would you agree, Ka, that looking back with the benefit of 2020 hindsight, Shadowrun was genuinely and honestly just ahead of its time as a multiplayer only shooter, right? Like that would be totally normal now, totally accepted.
That game was so ahead of its time that it's one of those things where you look back on it now and you're like, they really did have something here, but the audience just was not ready for it.
It was not the time.
And the infrastructure wasn't really ready for it either, but it was one of those things that, man, I love that game with my whole heart. Like, I redownloaded that thing on my
Xbox. Oh, here's footage of it.
Oh, I was looking at it.
It's so good. Our super producer, Red.
It was so good.
Yeah. Anyway, the reason I add all that layer of context is Shadowrun Trilogy is that role-playing game. It's an isometric game, but they are good PC RPGs that have come out in the years since from some of the original creators of that Xbox 360 Shadowrun, including Mitch Gittleman, who headed that project up. I just saw Mitch at GDC. He's got a new tactical game called The Lamplighters League. I actually don't know if it's coming to Xbox, but it's really good. We're going to be covering that on IGN here pretty soon. Anyway, so here's Shadowrun, the Shadowrun trilogy that's now going to be on PC Game Pass starting next week. So if you want to get your Shadowrun RPG fix on, and you've got a gaming PC and PC Game Pass, you can grab that next week. And then a game that I confess I'm not familiar with, Fuga Melodies of Steel 2. It's a sequel, and I still haven't heard of it. May 11th, cloud console and PC. Now, real quick, speaking of PC Game Pass specifically, we got to get some kudos out to Microsoft, spread some good cheer here. Xbox has announced a new PC Game Pass referral program that lets existing PC Game Pass members gift a free 14-day trial to the service to a friend. Stella, that's pretty sweet.
That's really great. That is really nice. I mean, I would say, oh, hey, I totally would do this for people who have not gotten Redfall yet, but, you know, maybe after the patches.
Well, there's lots of other stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton, but yeah. Oh, I could get people to play Grounded with me.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, Forza Horizon 5. I mean,
that's true, yeah.
Sea of Thieves. Like, there's a long, long list of cool things to play on PC Game Pass. So I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Now, Destin, I can't help but think, well, why aren't they also doing this on the console? Any thoughts as to why you think maybe they're just testing the waters to see what the reception is to this on the PC side before maybe considering doing a console version of this?
I don't know why they wouldn't include the console, but I do imagine that they're trying to up subscribers for PC Game Pass right now. Because I know there's been some issues with the PC version of Game Pass for some people. So maybe they've corrected those and now they're just trying to like ramp up people utilizing the service. Because it's kind of like once you get people to take their first hit of Game Pass, they want a little bit more. Oh, you know, God. There are a lot of great games on there. Like I think Mass Effect is still on Game Pass and like a lot of the games you listed, Forza Horizon 5, Grounded, Sea of Thieves. I mean, just go look. There are excellent games.
Oh, Valorant is on there
service.
Now too.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of the agreements are starting to kick off.
Is all the League of Legends stuff on there too?
Yeah. All the League stuff.
All the content, like hundreds of dollars worth of League content.
Mm-hmm. I think that happened when Valorant was also added, like with the Riot thing.
Because they're all Riot. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you are a PC Game Pass subscriber, start gifting subs to your trial subs to your friends. And if you're not, and your friends are, and you've got a decent gaming PC, hit them up. Tell them to hit you up with that 14-day trial. And then finally this week, Xbox, on the similar note here, Games with Gold for May. Two games, and they're available, of course, to anybody with Gold or Game Pass Ultimate, which, because of course, Game Pass Ultimate includes Gold. It's Star Wars Episode I Racer, all month long, all May long, and then HOA, H-O-A, up for grabs between May 16th and June 15th. Have you checked out HOA? Because it is a gorgeous, assuming I'm pronouncing, I don't know how else I could be pronouncing that.
Homeowners Association?
I know, that's exactly what I thought of.
No, I haven't played it yet. I'm excited to check it out, and I'm happy that I'll be able to do it for free because it'll be on Games with Gold, so that's super cool.
Oh, it's
super
I think
that,
cute.
That one is worth, it's beautiful. Okay. It's like a Studio Ghibli-esque art style.
Yeah.
Worth checking out there for, again, totally free. Just download it, and it's yours.
Yeah.
All right, let's do trivia here. Eric in California. Thank you, Eric. His gamer tag. Oh, wait. Oh, shoot. This is last week.
This is last week's.
Wait,
yeah.
Hold on. I'll just get one real quick.
Wait, but I just played Knights of the Old Republic. Wait, no.
We did it last week.
I literally just played through it for the first time.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to try anyway, Stella?
Yeah. Okay, which one did you not visit?
It's only you. I already got it.
Yeah. So.
Oh, did you? Really? Done, so. Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure it's Alderaan.
Hold on, let me go back.
That is right, Dustin?
I believe that was for the
Yeah, because yeah. Kashyyyk, you visit.
Yeah, that was it.
Manon, you visit.
Yeah, you got it.
you literally got
the
it.
Point. I'm sorry.
I literally just finished playing through that. By the way, it holds up really well, and I didn't think I would like that kind of gameplay, but I really liked it. Also, the twist was so good.
It's, yeah.
But it was really funny because the graphics were so, like, old. I was like, is that me? Is that supposed to be me? And then I didn't know until the characters were like, you were my master. And I was like, oh, it was me. Okay, great, cool.
I think I said this, I don't know, if I didn't say it publicly, I'll say it right now. KOTOR is still my personal favorite role-playing game ever.
Okay,
It is still number one on my list. Mass Effect 1 is right next to it.
Yeah.
Which, maybe not a coincidence that it's the exact same development team.
Oh my God.
Casey Hudson's team at BioWare did both
games.
You
excited for the remake, Ryan?
I mean...
That's not going to happen.
Yes, but it just doesn't. It seems like it's so far away that
they also they stopped. Like they paused. Well,
exactly. Stopped, yeah. Right. It's in a rough spot right now. So I don't know how that's going to go.
I'm so mad. Oh. Okay. It's fine. I'll get over it.
Okay. Let's see here.
Can I still get the point?
I'm just scrolling through the emails.
Hey, can I get the point for playing a 20-year-old game?
The point.
Man, I took time out of my...
Okay, well, all right.
Hold on. Here is another KOTOR question from Jacob in Camas, Washington. His gamer tag is Nephyte, N-E-P-H-Y-T-E. So now you've...
Oh, God. Okay.
Now I'm calling you out, basically.
Oh, God. Okay,
Do it.
In the early days of Xbox Live, a few games included DLC. It was not a normal thing like it was now. KOTOR was one of those games. There was DLC for... Okay. I can tell Destin's going to get this, I think.
Oh, God.
Right, Destin? You played all this
stuff? This isn't just KOTOR, so I'm not going to get this. Okay.
What is it?
All right, so KOTOR included DLC in the form of a space station orbiting Yavin 4. A merchant on... that was the name of it, Yavin 4.
Yes.
A merchant on this station will sell lightsaber crystals of unique colors not found in the base game.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know this.
Which of these lightsaber colors was exclusive to the DLC? So you could only get it from the DLC.
I played this all as one game, so I... let's see.
I mean, I that's fair what you're saying, because now it is just kind of all bundled, but take a shot here.
Yes.
So, was purple the one added by the Yavin 4 DLC? Was it silver? Was it orange? Or was it viridian?
What is that color? Is that like yellow?
I actually confess I have to look it up myself.
Okay,
I haven't heard that term in many years.
Green?
It is a green. Yeah, it's a shade
green?
Of green.
Okay.
It's a green.
It's sort of a foresty green.
Oh, it's like a... Okay.
Yeah.
So the choices were purple...
Purple, silver,
orange,
viridian,
or viridian. Yeah.
I think it's silver.
Okay. Khalif, I'm going to go to you next, sir.
I'm going to go purple.
Purple, all right. Destin?
I'm going green, viridian for Xbox.
That's the viridian. Thank you.
I want to say
it's a good green, actually.
Before I reveal who's right, I just want to say that I just got done saying KOTOR is my favorite role playing game ever. I would not have gotten this because while I did play the Yavin 4 DLC, it was all 20 years ago, and I don't remember what lightsaber crystal color got added. So I would not have gotten this right. None of you did either. It was orange.
What in the heck?
It was orange.
Yeah.
I swear I have. Okay, but also I played the complete thing where like they changed the thing so that each lightsaber crystal had stats to them. And that was not in the original game.
I mean, this was a deep cut from Jacob here, but
good deep cut.
It was still a fair deep cut. So.
I knew it wasn't purple because like that's your canon colors.
Yeah, nobody got that one. And again, I don't think I would have landed on that one myself. Orange, or if I did, I would have just been totally guessing.
I'm pretty sure I picked up orange in my plate. Okay, it's fine. It's fine.
Thank you, Jacob. If anybody else out there, oh, there we go. There's your.
Okay.
Pre-ordered.
Fine.
If anybody else out there has a good Xbox trivia question, please send it in so that I can try and stump the panel.
Do you another KOTOR question, please. Let me redeem myself, please.
Email to me at unlocked@ign.com. Include the question. Include 4 multiple choice answers. Note the correct answer. Don't forget your name and your gamer tag. And we'll play again next week. It is time to go, though, after, again, a very... I know, I gotta say, I'm very happy with the discussion that we had. I think we covered a lot of ground. I think we really, you know, I think we had a reasonable conversation about all this stuff this week. So I want to thank all 3 of you for being such awesome panelists. Khalif Adams, I'll start with you. Give yourself a plug, social media, where we can find Spawn on Me, etc. The floor is yours.
First of all, thank you again for having me. It is always a blast to be able to rock with all of you. Again, professionals in the biggest and best ways. Look at this nuanced discussion we had about games not performing in the ways that we had expectations for. You can check out my work at Spawn on Me. We are on all podcast platforms, live on Twitch, usually on Wednesday evenings around 6 p.m. PST at twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe. You can check out our reviews, previews, all that other good stuff on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/SpawnOnMe there. We're also thinking about maybe going back to Patreon for a little bit and maybe starting that back up. Do a little bit of AKA Ask Ka Anything, any of those kinds of things. So lots of things coming down the pipeline. And of course, our awards show that we do in January of every year called the Spawnies. We're starting to ramp that back up as well. So lots of good things coming down the pipeline. And of course, Summer Games Fest is coming up pretty soon. So we'll be doing a lot of coverage there from LA. So check out all that stuff and we'll see you soon.
Brilliant. I hope I get to see you in LA at all that stuff.
Yeah, we'll definitely hang out. We'll definitely hang out for sure.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And everybody, please go and check out Spawn on Me. Support Khalif. It is Spawn on Me is just a wonderful thing in this industry that I'm so glad exists, and it needs to be celebrated and supported. So please get on over again. You got YouTube, you got Twitch, you got podcast platform. Anywhere you want to go, he's there. So check it out. Destin, what do you want to promote? Go for it.
Follow me on Twitter at Destin Legarry right now. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff happening at IGN that I'm plugging away at. So kind of back in that role. I will be doing a cookie promotion though. So if you want to order cookies at Legarry Bakery, we're going to be doing something, a little bit of a discount for Mother's Day month.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, that's what I got for you.
You clever, clever man.
Love it.
Good stuff.
Stella. My wife's idea.
Yeah. I just want to point out, Destin, every time I do an AMA, everyone always asks, are Destin's cookies really as good as they look? And I'm like, yes.
They are.
Like, yes. It's true. I don't have many of them because, oh my God, don't look at the calorie count, but yes.
All right.
But yeah, so let's see. Not much really going on. Like, obviously doing all the FPS coverage here at IGN. Just did the Apex stuff that's coming for next season. On personal streams, I just finished playing KOTOR, so I'm going to be playing the second one, this time on Steam. So it's going to have all the DLC. You can have some mods on it. Very excited.
The end game mod?
Smart.
I believe so. Yeah. And it has, like, all the hidden content and stuff like that, too. So I'm very excited. God. So excited. Anyways, but on the 15th, I will actually be on Xbox's Twitch channel playing Jedi Fallen Order. I originally wanted to do Redfall. Survivor. Sorry. Yeah, Jedi Survivor. I was like, you know what? That's probably enough time for them to give out like updates and stuff or to be runnable. And I'm not going to play Redfall like I originally planned. So, I'm going to be doing Jedi Survivor on Xbox's channel on the 15th of this month at 3 p.m. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, excited.
Have fun with that. That'll be great. I'm on Twitter at DMC_Ryan. I'm like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain mostly these days. Other than this podcast, this is where I get to let my opinions out. So, but you can, I let them out on Twitter too, if you want to follow me there. Otherwise, that'll do it. I want to thank our super producer, Red, as well as our wonderful panel. most especially Khalif Adams for taking time out of his day to, as he says, to rock with us. I gotta steal that, because that's just such a good turn of phrase. I love it. So thank you, Ka. Thank you, Destin, Stella, and Red. I'm Ryan. This was Podcast Unlocked, episode 593. We will see you next week.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.